Welcome to Week 14, NFC Edition. I'm Kyle, the student of the game. To my right, my most talented co-hosts, Weasel and Chris, bring a few games of action, and also, it'll be time for the study hall at the end of this episode. Speaking of teams that we've been studying pretty closely, any of the featured teams for that matter, I studied the roster closely and saw the return of one Chris Ivory and Pierre Thomas. Saints Rams. Weasel, go.
The Saints, at home, crushed the Rams 31-13. For the Saints, Drew Brees was 25 of 40, 62%, 221 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 INTs. He was sacked once. In the running game, rookie running back Chris Ivory, 7 rushes for 47 yards, 6.7 average. Reggie Bush had 9 for 39, 4.3 average. And Pierre Thomas had 12 for 39, 3.3 average. In the receiving game, Lance Moore, 5 catches for 70 yards, 1 touchdown. Marquez Colston had 5 for 46 and 2 touchdowns. Tight end Cocky, Jeremy Shackey, and Pierre Thomas each had 4 for 29. Reggie Bush had 5 for 22. Rookie tight end Jimmy Graham had a 21-yard reception. For the passing game, rookie quarterback Sam Bradford was 18 of 32, 56%, 231 yards, no touchdowns, but 2 INTs. Towards the end of the first half, Bradford got the ball at the Saints' 21-yard line after Saints returner Courtney Roby fumbled a kickoff. In the second play of the drive, Bradford threw an interception that was returned 96 yards for a touchdown by safety Malcolm Jenkins. Bradford was sacked 3 times. For the Rams, the running game, Steven Jackson lost a fumble but had 16 rushes for 96 yards, 6 yards per attempt. Rookie running back Keith Tolston had 5 for 22, 4.4 average, and Bradford had 2 scrambles for 5 yards and a touchdown. In the receiving, for the Rams, Brandon Gibson had 4 catches for 67 yards, Laurent Robinson had 2 for 61, Steven Jackson had 4 for 38, tight end Daniel Fells had 3 for 26, and Austin had a 23-yard reception.
So, right, in a true show of the inevitability of the Rams offense, 1 for 11, your basic 9% on third down. This is why you need to watch that stat. That'll tell you a lot. So, speaking of stats that'll tell you a lot, there was really only one stat that told a lot about how bad this game was. The score. Chris, go.
Well, the Bears held New England to 1 yard on the first 3 plays. Forced a 3 and out, but the overrated Bears after that showed everyone that their QB position is shaky, their run game was a non-factor, and they are overrated in a 36-7 loss to the Patriots system.
I'm sure I'm going to get blamed for that.
For the Patriots, Tom Brady, 27 of 40, 68%, 369 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. He was sacked 3 times. Jay Cutler, 12 of 26, 46%, 152 yards, no touchdowns, 2 INTs, a lost fumble, and he was sacked twice. For the on the ground, the Patriots, Ben Jarvis Green, LSPA.
He's funny because he's the firm.
21 for 87, 4.1 average. Danny Woodhead, 7 for 21, 3 average with a touchdown. Fred Taylor, 3 for 16, 5.3 average. For the Bears, Matt Forte, 9 for 25, 2.8. Cutler had 2 scrambles for 21 yards. And Jester Taylor, 3 carries, 1 yard. 0.3 average, but it was for a touchdown.
Yay! One shining moment in the Bear in the Bears offense came in a guy who's averaging 0.3 for the game. I love it.
For the Patriots, Deion Branch, 8 catches, 151 yards with a touchdown. Wes the Weapon Welker, 8 for 115. Rookie tight end Rob Gronkowski, 5 for 43 with a touchdown. Brandon Tate, 2 for 40. Another rookie tight end, Anthony Hernandez, 2 for 19. For the Bears, Earl Bennett, 3 for 53. Matt Forte, 2 for 36. Devin Hester, 2 for 17. And Johnny Knox.
Johnny Knox!
2 catches, 16 yards. But he lost the fumble, which was returned for a touchdown.
Johnny Knox.
All right.
Anyways.
Turnovers. The Bears had 4, Patriots none. First down. Patriots had 27 first downs to the Bears.
Whoa. 27-12. Yeah. That's awesome.
475 yards for the Patriots, only 185 yards of offense for the Bears. And they were playing in the cold weather that the Bears were supposed to be, oh, home field advantage, cold weather.
Not really.
Third down, Patriots 12 for 19, 63%. Chicago 3-for-8, 38%. Time of possession, 19.5-minute difference in favor of the Patriots.
Okay, so am I going to be the one who has to say it? They are who we thought they were.
Right. Just before half, the sidelines was calling Brady for to take a knee. I thought that was funny. They call him to take a knee just right before the half when they were up 26-0. He looked at Deion Branch and said, no, we're not doing this. He hit Deion Branch on a 59-yard strike to go up 33-0 at half.
Is anybody else shocked that the Patriots didn't take a knee? I mean, that's what they
did.
Yeah,
I know. But then also, you know, I said the first possession earlier, the Patriots had three plays now, only gained 1 yard.
Right.
After that, their next six possessions, touchdown, touchdown, field goal, touchdown, field goal.
So, slap, slap, kick, slap, kick.
Yeah.
All right, got it. So, with that, we head over to a game that was actually close, as the Tampa Bay Bucks sneak by the Washington Redskins 17-16. More on that close outcome, but first let's take on the steps. There we had quarterback Josh Freeman, candidate for most improved of the year. Certainly not his best game this week. 15-for-25 at 60% with a touchdown, 266 yards. Did lose a fumble. Was responsible for a 2-point conversion where he single-handedly carried the entire line of scrimmage for what looked like about a good 3 to 5 yards. It was pretty impressive. Would end up being the go-ahead and score, matter of fact. Anyways, with that, Donovan McNabb, 22-35. He went 228 yards with 2 touchdowns. On the ground for the Bucks, LeGarrette Blount had 15 carries for 80 yards. Can't read my writing. 4.6 a carry. He did lose a fumble on the day. And then Redskins, Ryan Terrain, the bright spot for the Skins, 24 carries, 172 yards, 7.2 a carry. In the air for the Skins, Santana Moss, 7 catches, 82 yards with a touchdown. And tight end Kellen Williams, 3 catches, 60 yards. Also had the rookie Logan Paulson had a 1 yard touchdown catch. Aurelius Benn of the Bucks had 4 catches for 122 yards. Pretty big day, but the touchdown that was the longest reception of the day for the Bucks, Winslow, 52 yards, 31 yards to completion for a touchdown. Linebacker Chris Wilson of the Skins also fumbled one of the turnovers back to the Bucks, so it's essentially like it cancels out, you know, pretty much like a punt at that point. So the turnover battle goes to the Bucks, 1-0 instead of 2-1, whatever. Big news on offense for the Bucks is obviously 3 field goals, but the Redskins, late in the fourth quarter, take the ball down the field and score just as the game expires.
We're going in overtime!
Hold it! Wait a minute, what happened? Either we're going to talk about an amazing play where the Skins get the 2-point conversion and win the day, or we're going to talk about a massive da-da-da, where the most routine of football plays will be botched. We already know the score is 17-16, and just when they thought they could win, a bad snap goes over the head of the holder. The ball skitters back behind the Skins line, where he's crushed by a blitzing Buck. The game ends there, 17-16, head in people's hands, and somehow, somewhere, analysts will say it was Donovan McNabb's fault.
The Redskins let the game slip right out of through their hands.
It wasn't
necessarily a bad snap. It was a little high, but it went. The guy,
well, it was a lot
the holder
high,
was
he
like,
could have corralled it. Yes.
He could have grabbed it and put it down.
You know what? They should have just gone for 2. I mean, your season's already almost done. Why try to tie it and go to overtime?
No.
Just go for it.
I can see the logic to that, but also by the same token, Josh Freeman's having a pretty poor game. Keep an eye on D in this case.
Josh Freeman's kind of clutch in the fourth, though.
When they unleash the reins on him, let him do what he needs to do, get done.
Interesting. He has made a few big plays late, including this, you know, this manly 2-point conversion we were talking about, where he's pulling 3 and 4 linemen with him. But I can definitely see that. I can't necessarily fault the extra point because it is allegedly so automatic. But you know, whenever somebody misses a PAT, somebody says, "Why don't you go for 2?"
It's just one of those. Let's go for the win. We scored right before half. Right before the end of the game. Let's go for the win.
And here's something else too. If you're Shanahan, and if you went for 2 and missed, do you really think that the media would let you out alive by the end of the week? I mean, they're all over him. because it's his fault that there's a lazy player on his roster that refuses to run a particular style of defense. There are people who actually blame Shanahan for Albert Haynesworth. So if he went for two and they didn't get it, and he actually did something that could be argued as a bad call, yeah, I'm just saying, from that standpoint. I mean, technically, that's not within the bounds of the football game, but anyway, speaking of things that are in the bounds of the football game, or actually out of bounds in this case, let's go ahead and retouch really quickly on the fact that we are not covering the Jets and Vikings tonight because of the caved-in roof. I don't know if y'all have seen the video yet, but it looks like an indoor avalanche.
It does look pretty cool.
I'm not going to lie. I mean, it's that many millions in damage, it better look cool, I'm just saying. So, I think according to Chris, what's the advantage in the game?
The Giants are up by one stadium.
Okay, and that's the score so far. One stadium, Giants, zero Vikings. So with that, we'll head over to the study hall and do next week's picks. In light of the fact that the one game we were all different on hasn't been played yet, Weasel's still up by how many games?
He's up by
four games.
Yeah, four games to you.
Right.
Yeah, four games to you and six to me.
And then we're all 6-1 so far.
6-1 for the week, yeah. The foot percentage that we have correct this year on here.
Mm-hmm.
Weasel 67% of the time correct. You're 63%, I'm 61%.
On that, you cannot front. Right. So with that, let's go ahead and get into it. Let's pick week 15.
Bills at Fins.
Okay, is anybody really going to seriously consider the Bills here?
I was.
The same guy who said they were going to go 0-16 potentially if they didn't go 2-14?
Yep.
Okay.
I was considering them. I switched them back. And I mean, my rule earlier was you pick Fins away, not at home.
Right. That is the rule.
Playing at home. But it's what I was formed by. The Bills' secondary is just. Or their rush defense.
Their defense in general is pretty bad. Yeah.
I think with Ronnie Brown and Ricky Williams can control the game with that.
Take it out of Henny's hands.
Hear that, Tony Soprano?
Run the ball. We know you're listening. Run the ball.
But then also, I mean, what the Bills did with the Vikings, or Vikings did with the Bills more like, with the pass rush.
Right.
The Vikings had, with Cameron Wake, he's just going to have a field day.
Be dangerous.
I mean, what was it? How many sacks? Six sacks.
Six sacks on
six
the day, and I think three
Jets?
Of them were by Jared Allen.
No, I meant for the Jets Dolphins last night.
Oh, excuse me. You said 11
five,
total, so yeah.
Five sacks. No, Mark Sanchez was sacked six times. Two of them were by Cameron Wake.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be a difference. I'm going to stay with the Fins on that one.
So we're Fins across the board on this?
I'll go with the Fins.
Pop quiz. Cameron Wake, over or under two sacks? Well, let's do it this way. Over or under one sack?
Over.
Yeah, I think over one. I think you'd get about two.
All right, I got over two. All right, with that next game?
Lions at Bucks.
The Bucks are pretty solid. They already pulled a win out of their butt by making the Packers look bad. They don't care as much about beating the Bucks as they do the Packers. I got the Bucks. We will.
Bucks.
You know what? I got the Bucks on this one, too. One thing that scares me, though, is Akeem Taylor is out for the season.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize last week. I was I picked the Bucks and the Redskins, but they still overcame. But the problem is Megatron.
Well, it would be helpful if they had some veteran corner who has a very, very solid record playing against other players. Oh, wait, there's one. They barber. I know he's old, but I think he might be able to do a little something against
him. Bucks need to win to stay in playoff contention.
That's also true. So, yeah, there you go.
Next, Jags at Colts.
Wow. Oof. Weasel.
Going with Jags in this one. Running game. Mojo.
You realize you're breaking the rule, right?
Oh, whatever. I don't have any rules.
He doesn't have rules.
that's why you always seem to pick those games wrong. What's
the overall record? Ooh.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who's had the worst single game week this year so far? Ooh. Yeah. That was you that came up with that 2-7 that week.
Yeah. I think I won one game on that.
Go figure. He has the worst record and the best record.
Yeah,
he did have that one week that should have been perfect, except for who was it on
Jets.
Monday night?
The Jets got spanked
by the Pats. Yeah. So, but anyways, that aside, I am going to stick to the rule. I think the Jags will get in their own head Last year, this time-ish, they had a game where they had the Colts cold, and they blew it. I don't think this team is mentally tough enough to beat the Colts a second time. If they keep it close, I'd like to see the fourth quarter of that game. But if there's more than a 14-point gap by, let's say, halftime, Colts are going to win. I got the Colts in this one. Not to mention I said that the Colts make the playoffs and they have to win this game to do it. So.
Alright, I got the Colts off this.
Aha.
It's just Jags away.
What it is.
So,
next up.
Saints-Ravens.
Ooh. Wow, Chris.
Yeah, I'm going with the Saints on this one. They need the win to keep in the playoff hopes.
That's true.
So I'm going with Saints. Ravens do as well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's an epic game.
Depending tonight what's going on, but, I mean, Saints defense is playing pretty well lately.
But I mean, who against would be my question. You know, the Rams offense is decent, but they ain't great. The week before, they beat up on somebody piddly, you know.
Right.
This will be their toughest game they've had in a number of weeks. I think the Ravens are genuinely ticked off. I think they're going to do some damage and kick some butt. They're playing tonight right now against the Texans. I don't see that going in a particular direction other than the Ravens. The Ravens know they need this game. They're a crew that performs in the clutch. People don't often get in Drew Brees' face. I feel like the Ravens would do that. I got the Ravens all the way.
I got the Ravens this game.
Hopefully catch up again.
Yeah.
Eagles and Giants.
Oh,
good God. Weasel. No, check it. We'll start with Chris. You know what he's thinking.
Yeah. No, you know what? I was considering the Eagles, however.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going with the Giants. Giants got Steve Smith back. They got Hakeem Nicks back, who they were missing last time they played against the Eagles. And the Eagles will still probably be missing Asante Samuel. And, you know, their other corner, Alec Hobbs, is on IR. So I'm going to go with the Giants just because they got their receivers back healthy now that they didn't have the first time they played against them, with the Eli Manning interception late in the game that cost them the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the Eagles' secondary is weak. That's the only reason. Otherwise, I would have gone with the Eagles. However, with Asante didn't even make the trip out with him this week. So, I mean, it's hamstring worse than you think it is. So.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard to believe you with your past picks and you're even wearing a blue shirt today. I'm just saying.
I know. I'm just saying. You can call me Homer, but, you know, that's the only reason. I was looking at the Eagles because of Vic, but Giants have record of containing Vic.
And the Giants threw away the last game.
Right.
That's true.
And so I think that's going to motivate them more. They are playing at home, which doesn't matter with the Giants too much.
With that entire division.
Worse,
yeah.
But, so.
Weasel.
That was sound reasoning, but I got the Eagles.
Weasel says that was an intelligent, eloquent, well thought out objection. Overruled. To be honest, I picked the Giants the first time, and I saw how they turned the ball over four times to hand them the game back. Gosh, for me, it's still in that D line I trust. I think they have all the answers at corner, and here's what I know for a fact. The Eagles lost to the Bears without their two top quarters. That's pretty bad. On the strength of that, I'm compelled to pick the Giants.
One more key. Deshaun Jackson sprained his ankle yesterday after he had, 200 yards?
Including a 91-yarder.
Some crazy yards on four catches. Yeah, it was like 180-something yards or 200 yards on four catches. He sprained his ankle.
That's a lot.
And so he went out of the game. So, I mean, that playmaker right there is going to be out, too. So you got the Giants. All right, next game, Jets at Steelers.
Weasel.
I don't know what's up with Sanchez. I'm telling you, Sanchez no more.
Yeah, yeah, fine.
He's been crap the past couple weeks.
Okay, so not only are you a homer, you're flip-flopping. Okay.
Yeah.
Chris.
Yeah.
You going with Steelers?
Yeah, I'll go with Steelers.
I'm going with Steelers.
Put me down for that, too, actually. Not just because of Sanchez, but the running game is what shocks me. It's not as been productive. It has not been as productive as I would have thought.
Yeah, and you know what else? I mean, we might see Mark Burdell for the first time next year. For next season. Or next game, I mean.
Well, if it comes down to Roethlisberger getting knocked out for his injury, too, I'll take their backup to Brunell. No offense to Brunell, I'm a Brunell guy, but anyways. Hey, you haven't played in years and you're 40. Here come the Steelers. Take it, Biatch. Mm-hmm. Next game.
Next one, Packers at Pats. Patriots.
Weasel.
Patriots. They've been playing good football.
No homerism whatsoever either there. Chris.
I got Patriots because Aaron Rodgers, second concussion yesterday, so he's Garrett ruled out already for next week. So I got the Patriots, especially how well they've been playing lately.
Without Rodgers, I have to pick the same thing.
In the last game, which is a Monday night game, Bears and Vikings.
Ugh.
Weasel.
Oh my gosh.
Keep in mind, there's your homerism, or there's, you know, the love of a good woman you have to consider.
That is true. That is true.
Weasel, now keep in mind, last time Weasel gave up the Nana and stayed with his homerism.
Yeah, I did.
Stayed with the homerism.
Yeah, yeah.
I already told you last week what I was doing for this week.
Wait, what was that?
I'm picking the Bears.
That's
on the strength of?
Over the strength of, I hope they lose.
Because whenever he picks the Bears.
Every time I pick against the Bears, they win. So I'm picking the Bears, hoping they lose. Well, I got the Bears written down, see?
Alright.
Bears.
Alright. I just,
stay with your homerism. You got a couple games to give up.
Imagine they play tonight, but, yeah, y'all need to catch up. I'll pick the Vikings, why not?
Homer.
they're playing at Minnesota. That would be...
No, it's not at Minnesota.
So Detroit?
No. Detroit. Minnesota College?
Outdoor field, too.
Outdoor field?
Yeah, we can't really answer. They may take that to Detroit as well, because it's the Monday night game. There's no telling.
Yeah, and the Lions are away next week.
That's right. So, on top of which, yeah, they're playing Sunday. So, either way, they could do two games in a row. Without knowing the field location... and I wanted to touch on that for a minute, too. There are people who talk about how the snow affects this and affects that. Both teams have to deal with it, though, so I normally negate that. Unless you're the Bears. One other thing, and again, I'm unfortunately quoting Mike Golic here, who brought up a very good point this morning on Mike in the Morning on ESPN, who talked about how, while he was talking about the reasons that the snow didn't matter that much to him, he was listing off things to consider, like the defensive ends don't get a good pass rush. Now, gentlemen, the three of us have agreed for a while. What is the only reason, really, for the Bears' success? A defensive end, yeah. Julius Peppers. Julius Peppers was slowed, the whole team was screwed. However, without knowing the location, knowing for a fact that Favre is pretty much toast for the season, on what doctors have referred to as a three-week injury as he ends his streak tonight, not playing this game, I got the Bears.
All right.
That's it.
So, with that, Weasel looks to lose ground and regret all the trash he talked earlier. And next week, we will bring you Week 15 action. Playoff picture's starting to look a little right there. Go ahead and email us what you think about that. TheStewTheGame@gmail.com. Also, check us out on iTunes. And leave a comment on the website, www.TheStewTheGame.com.
Or TheSOTG@gmail.com, right?
What'd I say?
The student of the game.
Okay, yes. TheSOTG@gmail.com. Thank you, Weasel. I only do that every week. And,
it only took us 14 weeks to figure it out.
Yeah, right. Well, no. The good news is...
Why is he returning my emails?
That's good. Why does it keep coming back?
We are not ignoring you.
Yeah, the good news is I've said it right every other time. Thank goodness. But, so yeah, that'll leave us for this week. And follow us on Twitter, whenever we update the site, the account updates, @BSOTG. And there you go. See you next week.